My name's Peter, if I've not met you before. I'm part of the staff team here at Southern Cross. We're going to be reading the whole of James chapter 2 this morning. My brothers and sisters, believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favouritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing the fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
Good morning. My name's Peter, if you didn't know. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for your wisdom. And we ask that you'll give us open hearts and minds to hear what you have to say today. Amen. Well, it's that time of year where we discuss the successes and failures of the year gone by and our hopes and our dreams for the year ahead. Whether they're things at work or the family, holidays, new purchases or something else, we like to ask each other about these things. But if we're Christians, we may even ask, as I was asked the other day by an old friend, "How are you going in your Christian walk?" I tell you, I found it difficult to answer. I'm a Christian. I'm still a Christian. I'm going good, I suppose. I'm not going as good as I'd like to be, perhaps. I've been very busy. It's tough, isn't it? How do we justify our response? How do we avoid being vulnerable and sharing our struggles? I don't know that I gave a good answer, but as we look here today, knowing that a Christian's life should grow in faith, that we should be sanctified and made holy. This is just what James wants to tell to his readers about. See, in chapter 2, James calls his leaders to live with a love for God's law and with deeds of faith. So let's have a look at that first point now, what it means to live with a love of the law. James calls his audience to love without partiality. If you have a look there in your Bibles, we'll pick it up at 2 verse 8. He says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. So as James, he's writing to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, to Christians. And he urges them to keep what he calls the royal law, what Jesus called the greatest commandment. The law all the way from Leviticus 19, to love others as yourself. This love is a fulfillment of the law. And in the first 7 verses in chapter 2, James warns that we should not be seeking to impress or to favour the rich. If so, we become judges with evil thoughts. See, the rich, they represent worldliness, don't they? He says they've exploited you, dragged you into court. They've slandered Christ to whom you belong. And the poor, who these people have not loved, well, from if you've been reading the Sermon on the Mount, as Stu encouraged us last week, said the poor are those who are rich in faith. James calls out these Christians. They haven't changed the way they love others. They're still seeking worldly glory from rich and influential people. They're showing favoritism, and he calls that sin. And he says any sin is sin. It renders you a lawbreaker, not loving others equally. And they've failed to do the most important thing, to keep the new covenant that they live under. They need to stop loving as the world loves and to love the way God has called them to love, without partiality, without discrimination or bias, without a love for money, power, or success, but rather to love God's law, to love faithfulness, to love fellow believers, the poor and the needy, to love the freedom we have from sin. He doesn't call them to be like the Pharisees, who seem to follow the law but have no love for others. But he wants them to love others, showing mercy and triumph. James wants his readers to speak and act knowing that God's law is good. A couple of times this week, I've seen this ad on TV for a new show, a new series of a show, Married at First Sight. Has anyone watched it? No, don't put your hands up. Seems a bit embarrassing, doesn't it? It's this cringe-worthy reality TV show that is probably not real at all, but some things caught my attention. As they're up there giving their vows, not the traditional vows that we have, but they've modified them a little bit. One girl says, might be controversial, But I don't believe in love at first sight. Just marriage at first sight, obviously. I believe love is earned. The poor guy marrying her, I guess, is going to have a hard job ahead. Another girl says, I'll laugh with you, cry with you, respect and support you, but I probably won't obey you. I mean, it's not a Christian show, and I'm sure it's not even a complete picture of our society's view on love. But love is failing in our society. And maybe that's because it falls so short of God's love and his expectations for us. What is important is that we love without partiality, without bias, without conditions. But how? And what does that look like? What does it look like in your marriage? Does it need to be earned? Or is it given freely? Is it only when it's easy? Or is it also when it's hard? What about your families? Do you love them when you're tired? When you've missed out on your own plans? Or do you just put up with them on Christmas Day? What about church? You know, there's those who are easy to talk to and those who we'd rather avoid. Are we loving them? Do we go home guilt-free and wait till next Sunday? Or do we continue to love them each and every day? What about your workplace? Is your love any different there? Or are you just seeking your own glory, your own promotion? What about your neighbourhood, your community? Do they feel loved by you? It's tough. There's so many different situations. But there's one way to love. To love as you love yourself. It's not always easy. And some are harder to love than others. Perhaps you even feel like a hypocrite when you're talking about love. Because we all know that we haven't loved the way we should have. But if we focus on God's law and God's love, then we can seek to love others as ourselves. It's a big love, it's a costly love, and it's different from our society's views. And how you show that love without putting your motives over others is something you need to constantly reflect on. It's something you need God's wisdom for. And so you need to surround yourself with his word to remind yourself each day. The second point James makes concerning our sanctification, our growing in holiness, is that we need to live with deeds of faith. From verse 14, he says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" And in 24, he says, "You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone." See, faith and deeds go together. James's audience knows that justification of sins is by grace through faith. And as Reformed evangelicals, we know that too. And I mean, it's caused some controversy and confusion, as James writes that it's not by faith alone, when we know it is by faith alone. But what he is saying is that faith is not alone. Faith without action is dead. And he alerts these Christians to wake up, to look at themselves and see if their faith is real. See, faith isn't something we can see, but we can see the way we live. We can see our actions. Our changed actions demonstrate our faith. Now, we don't need to do things to receive salvation. And the best example there is that man who was crucified on the cross next to Jesus. He recognized his sin and he recognized that Jesus was the Savior. And he sought forgiveness. Jesus didn't say to him, go and do some good deeds and prove your faith, or earn your faith. He said, tonight you'll be with me in paradise. That man didn't have the chance to demonstrate his faith. But had he lived like us, past that point of asking for salvation, his good deeds would have poured out of him if his faith was real. And so should ours. James talks about Abraham and Rahab as examples of faith who believed in God. They didn't just say, oh, they said they believed. No, we know by their actions. There was no talk, just actions showing their faith. If you have faith in something, you need to take action. Just recently, last year, I went with my family down to the new rock climbing gym in Ballina, indoor climbing gym. And I've been to many in the past, and even studied and become a leader in roping techniques and instructed people, but never before, I've heard about them, but never before have I seen these auto belayers. They just, like a big pulley system in a metal box up on the roof, and you clip in, and as you climb up, the rope just goes up, and you give it a tug, and it seems to be loose and free. And I didn't go first. I let some of the kids go first, and my kids, and you know, it slowly lowered their 20-kilo bodies safely to the ground. And as I got to the top and pulled on the rope, feeling no resistance at all, I was nervous. And I didn't want to let go, so I started climbing back down the wall just in case I fell too fast. And then I realized how ridiculous it must be, and I felt sort of shame that I should be able to trust it, being a outdoor leader. And so eventually, I just went for it. And as I jumped off, it caught me and it lowered me down just as slowly as it lowered the kids. Did just what it was supposed to do. And I felt safe now, knowing that I could tackle more difficult climbs and save some of my energy, not having to climb back down the wall. If you have faith in God, you have to act on it. You have to obey His moral law according to your faith. So what is different about the way you live compared to those who don't have faith? Does it identify you as a Christian? Or are you just trying to climb down the wall yourself? Making yourself look great? Or are you furthering God's kingdom? If you have faith in God, then people should see it. It may be by some of the things you don't do. Maybe you don't participate in coarse joking or gossiping sessions. Maybe you don't take advantage of others. Or maybe it's what you do, the way you protect and care for the weak and needy. by taking risks. Not for your own gain, but the gain of God's kingdom. See, James says that faith and deeds go hand in hand. They can't be separated. Without deeds, your faith is dead. Without faith, your deeds will fail. We need both. We need to live with Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. See, we become Christians because we realize we need saving, that our deeds have failed us, have failed to meet God's standards, that our sins have been paid for on the cross as Jesus died in our place. And we accept through repentance and faith Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And if he's our Lord, it means he's our King. It means we follow him. His moral law is important to us, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. So we live by faith, showing our deeds, showing who our hope is in, and loving others in a way that is largely unseen in our society. But it can be a slippery slope. On the one hand, there's the danger that we can become legalistic, that we become so focused on the law, we become blind to the law of love. And we start trusting our good deeds, our works, instead of Christ. And if we lean too far the other way, we can become complacent, putting our trust in God's love and grace, but failing to act and rendering our faith dead. James speaks his wisdom to us, and our world bombards us with folly. If we're going to truly follow Christ, then we need to listen to him, to immerse ourselves in his word. My English teacher at high school would often say, when it came to any of the texts he gave us, we need to be like a sponge, absorb. Okay? That's what we need to be like with God's law. We need to have his law written on our hearts. When life's busy, when it's hard to fit things in, when we're busy at work, when we're tired, when we need to fit in some relaxation, all our obligations with our family and friends, it's not easy. It's not easy to get our priorities right sometimes. Sometimes we just need to do the little we can. We need to cut out the things we don't need. So I ask you, how are you going in your Christian walk? Can we see it? Those who are near you should see it. So why don't you make it obvious? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your salvation that you've freely given us. And we ask that we will accept it and continue to grow in holiness, to be sanctified and made like you. Help us to avoid falling into the trap of following your law legalistically and having no love for others and depending on ourselves and our own works. And also, Lord, we ask that you'll help us to avoid becoming complacent, to trusting in your grace and doing nothing and having a dead faith. Help us to live your way, Lord. Give us your wisdom and energize us each day, I pray. Amen.